Okay, what did you do wrong today?
Sorry?
What did you do handicapped about?
No, you didn't. No, those are the sources.
Could I have a source sheet? I need a source sheet.
You
Use this for candles?
Let me see. I'm going to get my pen.
Okay. So today we're doing something.
The skin is getting smaller and smaller.
Today.
Oh, it's getting colder and colder. That's what happens in the plane.
So today we're doing something a little bit different. Okay? Rather than talking about a halachic myth of Hanukkah, we're going to talk about a myth about Hanukkah that has halachic implications. Okay? And we're going to start with the famous question. So the question of Rav Yosef Karo, the question of the Beis Yosef, the Beis Yosef asked the following question, to which there was a sefer published in which there were no fewer than 101 answers to this question, in this sefer alone, and there are many others. The question is as follows. We know that the Maccabee, Yochanan Matityahu and his sons came into the Beis HaMikdash, right? I don't even have to tell you the rest of the story, right? And they found one cruse of oil, and that cruse of oil lasted for 8 days, right? Mm-hmm. And we celebrate Hanukkah for 8 days. Why? To commemorate the miracle of the oil, right? So the Beis Yosef asked the following question. Why is Hanukkah 8 days long? Really, it should only be 7 days. Because the oil burned on the first day, that's a natural, it's a normal thing for oil to burn 1 day, right? The miracle was that there was enough oil for 7 more days after that. So really, Hanukkah should be... No.
She's a mathematician.
No, 7 days after the first day.
Ow!
No. Shiny.
No.
You like the 12 days of Christmas already?
No. Because he's where you pay for that. Maybe
creative accounting. So really, Hanukkah should be 7 days long to commemorate the 7 days of miracles, not the 8 days of miracles. So that's the question of the Beis Yosef. I'm sure you've all heard this question before. There are many, many hundreds of answers to this question. We're going to, based on some of the things that we're going to study this evening, maybe we're going to offer another one.
But I have a question even before we start this.
Mm-hmm.
Why was it necessary that the oil had to be certified?
Oh, even better question.
I mean, because you can use any oil. I mean...
No, you have to use olive oil.
But I'm just saying, but you can use olive oil. It doesn't really need a certification.
No, that... So, no, it had to... Because really, oil had to be...
Germanized up.
To be pure oil, A, and pure oil in terms of the content, the oil being removed from impurities, and B, the oil being pure, as in... not tummy. That's why it had to be certified. But your question is a good one still. We have a principle called Tum Ahutra Bitsibur, that when that ritual impurity, if everybody is impure, then the vessels in the Beis HaMikdash, in the temple, were allowed to be impure as well. So your question still stands. Why did they even have to look for the oil? Right? Why did they have to make sure that the oil was sealed when they could use any oil, any olive oil? Alright? So that's another question. We're not going to answer that question tonight. I'm just telling you
that's for next year.
No, I mean, I still have a Shabbos, you know, and I have to give a sermon. I have to speak Friday night.
Oh, so it's...
Please. Rachmanis. Rachmanis.
No
Rachmanis.
So you're going to give it on Shabbos? If you have to joke the show on Shabbos? Are you telling me that's my...
Well, I'm speaking in young leadership, so you're more than welcome to come. But I reserve the right to speak about that, is what I'm saying.
You just gave him the topic.
But let's look at the first source. The first source is from the book of... Yes?
Actually, the Nish... is 8 days. They didn't know that they were going to find any oil. So that they found one bit of oil, gave the additional
day. Okay, that's one answer.
It was a military victory.
Okay, so let's study a little bit what Hanukkah is about. The most famous source that we talk about when we ask what is Hanukkah is the source in the Gemara that says, what is Hanukkah? Let's look at the second source. My Hanukkah. What is Hanukkah? The Tanu Rabbanan. V'chav hei b'kislev, yomei d'chanukkah t'manya inyon. On the 25th day of Kislev, there are 8 days of Hanukkah. Right? You know that from songs and everything else. Right? On Hanukkah, you're not allowed to deliver any kind of eulogies. Remember, I think it was 2 years ago, when Henry Edinger's mother passed away. So, Henry Edinger's mother was a member of the Breuer's community. So, normally, we tend to fudge things a little bit when it comes to eulogy. Oh, well, you're not allowed to give a hesed.
However!
But, okay. Henry Edinger's mother's levaya was literally 2 minutes long. I have a friend who is a yekka who missed the funeral because he was 2 minutes late. The Rav of the Breuer's community got up and said, this was a very chashev woman, this was a very fine woman, and she deserves to have eulogies said about her, but it's Hanukkah, so we can't. And they said Tehillim, and they left. That was it. Funeral on Hanukkah. Okay? No hespedim. We will always anos behom. And not to fast. You're not allowed to fast on Hanukkah. When the Greeks, the Hellenists, entered the temple, they defiled all of the oil in the temple. And when the Hasmonean kingdom rose up against the Syrian Greeks, and they beat them, and they emerged victorious, they only found one cruse of oil that was stamped with the symbol, the hashgacha, of the Kohen Gadol. And there was not enough oil to last beyond 1 day. There was a miracle. And they were able to use it for 8 days. Lishana acheres kva'um ve'asa'um yamim tovim behalel v'hoda'a. The next year, they established Hanukkah as a day of importance, as a day to say halel and to give thanks to God. Right? So that's the account of the Gemara and Shabbos, my Hanukkah. There you have it in a nutshell. There were these nasty Hellenists, and let's just explode another myth about Hanukkah. Right? It wasn't the Jews against the Greeks. It was the Jews against the Jews who were Hellenized. Right? It was a civil war. Okay, Hanukkah around that we talk about on Hanukkah. So the Hellenized Jews had defiled the temple, the Beis HaMikdash, and they only found one oil with the OU stempel of the Kohen Gadol. Maybe it was like the KG, or the Chaf Gimel, right? Now you have the Chaf K, they had the Chaf Gimel, Kohen Gadol, right? So, and they only found that, and the oil burned for 8 days, and it was a miracle, and the next year, they established it as a Yontif, and everybody was happy, and that's why we celebrate Hanukkah. Okay, so that's the source in the Gemara and Shabbos. However, we find other sources that predate the Gemara and Shabbos by the redaction of the Talmud by several hundred years that say other things. Let's go to the earliest source. Actually, let's hold off for a moment. The next source, the Psikta Rabbasi. Why do we light Hanukkah candles? Ela b'shah shenitzchu banav shel chashmonai hakohen agadol v'malchus Yavan. When the children of Matityahu, from the chashmonai, when they emerged victorious over the agents of the Greek kingdom, Shne'emar, V'orarta banecha al Tzion, V'orarta banecha Tzion al banaich Yava'an. Right? Notice that it's talking about God's children. So these are Hellenized Jews, right? When they defeated, when the Kohanim defeated the Hellenists. And by the way, we're talking about a time where a lot of these structures of the Jewish people were still in place. There was still a Kohen, there was still a Kohanim Gedolim, but a lot of these were taken over by the Hellenists. The Kehuna Gedola was for sale. It was, it was a very corrupt situation. So Nichnasu Beis Hamikdash, Matzu Sham. So they went into the Beis Hamikdash, and what did they find there? What do you think the Psikta Rabasi is going to say now? A cruse of oil, right? Wrong. Matzu Sham Shmona Shipudin Shel Barzel. They found 8 iron spears. The Kavu Osam. So they stuck them in. V'hidliku b'tocham neiros, and they used them. They lit candles on them. So now, all of a sudden, it's starting to take on a little bit more of a military perspective. The Psikta Rabasi, does it say anything about oil?
No, they said candles.
Zero. Nothing about oil. Well, so it's all about candles. But no, I'm talking about the miracle of the oil.
Oil. They talk about candles.
It says nothing about the miracle of the oil.
I'll ask you another question.
Go ahead.
Spears are actually military instruments.
That's right.
How did they use military instruments
in the base? So it's true that the base mikdash had been defiled, and one of the ways it was defiled was that there were instruments of war in there. But this was not a miracle of oil. This was a jest. After they won, they came back into the base of mikdash. They found spears all over the place, the detritus of a retreating army, and as a gesture of triumph, they lit candles there. And that's why we have 8 candles of Hanukkah, because they found 8 spears and they lit 8 candles on the spears. Not a word about a miracle of oil. Yes, sir.
I have very big problems here.
Good.
Just one problem.
I'm not here to make you comfortable.
Good. Then can we get a linguist and deal with translations over here?
Okay.
First of all, Shipudim conceivably could be spits.
Okay.
And could they have put an ola on a spit to place it on the Mizbeah, even though you're not supposed to put Barzel on the Mizbeah, we're talking defiling. Okay. So very that good. These were long pointed metal bars that may have been used for some...
Well, I mean, they wouldn't have been. I don't think that they used... No, they did use wooden spits. Of course they used, metal spits.
Yes, sure
of course they did. And I'll tell you, sure, and I'll tell you how, why, because a lot of the, a lot of the halachos when it comes to kashrus, in terms of taste being swallowed in and taste, so that those are derived from the metal spits that absorb the taste of the korban one day and then would spit the fit. Okay.
So, shipudim could be... Mm-hmm. A spit that had been used at the Mizbeah.
Okay.
Translating as spears, it ain't necessarily so.
Okay, fine.
And the other really big problem is that it constantly says Nair is candle, and that is absolutely not correct. Nair is a light. They didn't have paraffin wax candles be made candles.
No.
And those little tourist souvenirs that they sell of the little clay lamp is more likely, the guy in the shuk was selling those wholesale to...
Okay, I concede all of your points, and it doesn't make any difference whatsoever in terms of the thrust of this.
But it does explain things in a more realistic
Let's read it with your more accurate translation. They went into the Beis HaMikdash, and presumably it had been, it doesn't say anything about it being defiled, but they reclaimed the Beis HaMikdash from the Hellenic, okay? So now they had these shipudim, right, that were probably used for idolatrous sacrifices, and as they used them as support for their oil lights. Does it say anything about oil burning for 8 days? Any miracle of oil? No, that's my point.
But it does say that absent the menorah, actually they say 8, so it's not 6.
Yeah.
Or not 7.
That's right. This is a gesture of triumph, right?
Okay. 8 spears, just 8 spears.
But even if they used oil, they used candles. How would they put oil on the spears?
They hang a cruise of oil and put a wick
right.
in it.
Maybe these were like...
They would have to put some sort of a pot.
Or maybe they had like...
To put the oil.
Have anybody ever fenced before? Not at YU, actually, when I was in elementary school, I used to fence. Long story. But the foil, actually all of them have, the epee, the saber, and the foil all have, to guard your hand.
Yeah. Yeah. Protect the cut.
Aaron Weiss was on the YU in Kensington.
My father was as well. Okay. So we see that this is the you light Hanukkah candle here because of the triumphant gesture that the Hashranayim did when they came back into the Beis HaMikdash. Let's look at another source in the Psikta Rabasi later on. Again, predating the Gemara and Shabbos.
Psikta Rabasi is very early, isn't it?
Yeah, very early. One of the earliest. Post Mishnah. I don't even think it's post Mishnah, but like collections of statements of Chazal. Ata motze zos haChanukah she'anu osim zecher leChanukas beis Hashmonai. This Chanukah that we do, this is a remembrance. This is a commemoration of the dedication of the temple by the Hashmonaim. Right. That's, by the way, why we say every day Mizmor Shir Chanukas HaBayis of David, because that's about, it's about the dedication, the consecration of the house, right? So we say that throughout Hanukkah. In fact, there are people, I know that Spartans do this, who have the custom of saying that Mizmor every night after they light Hanukkah candles.
Oh, I'm sorry,
you do? Okay. Yeah, there are many customs. Other people that say, because the mizmor shapes into a menorah structure. In any event, so why? They fomented a war. And they beat the, we'll call them Hellenists, but really the Hellenized Jews. The Anu Achshav Madlikin, and now we light. The Chayin B'Sha'a Shed Nigmera Melechas HaMishkan Asu Chanukah K'moshe Kasav Zos Chanukas HaMizbeach. We light candles now, and because Chanukah is a time of the commemoration of the dedication of the Mikdash. So how did they commemorate? How did they start dedicating, consecrating the Beis HaMikdash? They lit candles. How do we know this? Every day on Hanukkah we read one other of the Nisiyim, right? Who brought their gifts to the Mishkan, right? The leaders of the tribes. And then on the last day of Hanukkah, that's what the day known as Zos Hanukkah. That's why davening on Shabbos is going to be very, very long. Because laning is going to be very, very long. It's the longest weekday laning that there is. Zos Hanukkah. Because you have Parshas Naso, you're reading all the Nisiyim, then you have the summary, and you don't stop there, you go right into the next Parsha, in Baloscha. What's the beginning of Baloscha? Baloscha es haneros, when you light the candles. So that was, exactly. So the way that the Mishkan was dedicated was through lighting the menorah. So we light the menorah as well, to dedicate, to commemorate this dedication of the Beis HaMikdash. Now, really, by the way, these two statements of the Psikta are not contradictory, because this statement does not explain why you have 8 days. Right?
But this statement is very radical.
Everything we're doing tonight is very radical.
Okay. This is more radical than the average radical.
What we do with you is very radical.
Yeah.
They establish a Yom Tov in honor of a military victory.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So we're going to talk about that. But well, hold that thought. You're very good. Very, very good.
The word about Yom Nicanor.
Hold on. So we're not going to talk about that. I submit that these two statements of the Psik Der Abasi are not contradictory. The first statement says that we celebrate 8 days because of the spears that they did. Now, the reason that we light candles, so it's true that they lit candles there, but here they also, and they lit candles here too, but this is why this gives it another dimension. And it's also a holiday in which we commemorate it by lighting the candles in general. We light 8 of them to commemorate the 8 spears or spits that they found in the Beis HaMikdash. These are the two statements of the Psik Der Abasi. Now, neither of these statements, do either of them say anything about oil?
No miracle.
Nothing, right? What
miracle is?
So if there's any miracle at all that they talk about, what miracle is it? The military victory. And then the Gemara in Shabbos comes along, and it does allude to the military victory, but it's like
pushed
on the side, right? Mainly, it's the what? It's the oil. Okay.
Let's read Al-Hanisim.
Hold that thought. Honest to God. No. Hold on. Sometimes I feel like I don't even have to come in. Everybody asks such good
questions. Well, you taught us so well.
It's true. Thank you. Now let's read another source that will blow your mind. I don't like saying that. I don't try not to be hyperbolic, but really this really is going to shock a number of people, I think. First of all, because I'm quoting the Book of Maccabees. First source, right? From the Apocrypha, Sefer HaMaccabim. Now, upon the same day that the temple had been polluted by the strangers, on the very same day it was cleansed again, that would be the 25th day of Kislev. The translation is a little bit apocryphal, pun intended. And they kept 8 days with joy. They kept 8 days in what? In the manner of the Feast of Tabernacles. Sukkot. Why do we keep... What is it saying? Why? Remembering that not long before, they had kept the Feast of the Tabernacles when they were in the mountains and in dens like wild beasts. What was the last yontif that they missed? Hard to believe. Okay.
What?
The last yontif, you mean Shmini Atzeres?
Yeah.
Very interesting, but that may lead into something else if we have time. But let's say, for argument's sake, it's Sukkot. Okay? Right? And now it's hard to believe that Sukkot was not really all that long ago. It seems like ages. For me, at least.
Real words.
Right. So now they're trying to recreate the last Yontif that they missed, which they couldn't celebrate because the Beis HaMikdash had been defiled and they couldn't offer korbanos. So what did they do? Therefore they now carried boughs and green branches and palms for him that had been given in good success and cleansing his place. They shook a lulav and hadasim in aravos, and they ordained by a common statute and decree that all the nation of the Jews should keep those days every year. Sukkot in Kislev. It's like Christmas in Lahavdil.
So it's no longer a Christmas tree.
Lahavdil. I should never have said that. It's really not on the record.
We won't report you.
There you go. So here's another source, even predating the Psik Der Abasi, that they celebrated the first Hanukkah was Sukkot. They celebrated Sukkot. Now that doesn't explain, because really, if you think about it, if that's the case, then we should have been celebrating Sukkot now twice, right?
And shouldn't we potato latkes?
Yeah, we would never have potato latkes. What would we? We'd be eating Sukkot food. I don't know. I mean, we would be celebrating Sukkot and then come back and celebrate it again. So I think that really is the reason why Hanukkah took on a different form of celebration, because at some point, right, they were able to start celebrating Sukkot, and particularly after they purified the Beis HaMikdash, right? So they could celebrate Sukkot again. So there was no need to compensate for missing Sukkot. So now, the celebration of Hanukkah, of this Yontif, had to take on a different form. And so what is the form that it's going to take? The celebration of a military victory. We're celebrating the military victory. But then comes along. So, but what about the Gemara and Shabbos? The miracle of the oil. So now we've seen a number of compelling sources that there, so that maybe, at least it seems, that neither of these sources, the two statements of Psikta, seem to say that there was no miracle of the oil.
But it's
so, but that means that then Chazal were making things up.
If you're saying that they celebrated Sukkot because they couldn't do it,
mm-hmm.
it actually didn't fall on the actual days that we celebrate Hanukkah, because they had to purify the temple.
No, it says the 25th day of Kislev, they purified the temple. I mean, they weren't celebrating Sukkot on the right day. They knew that.
I understand that, but if they if the victory took place on the 25th of Kislev, it would take time to...
So the 25th of Kislev, at least according to the Sefer Maccabim, was the day that they purified. That's why the Psikta says that we celebrate the consecration of the Mikdash, right? And not the military victory aspect is the spears or the spits, right? The celebration itself, the spirit that informs the celebration, is that of what? Is the consecration. But that's really the sign of the victory in battle, is that they were able to return and consecrate the Mikdash.
So to feel that the victory is also a miracle, if you really right. put it that way.
You bet.
Right.
That's right. So,
if you overwhelm.
So what about the oil then? So were Chazal just making things up?
Even before you get to the oil, there are essentially two bases for doing a late Yontif. This Pesach Sheni, mm-hmm. but that's 30 days.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a source for 30 days, and there's the Tashlumim. If you didn't finish the cycle of Korbonos on the Regel, so you have another 8 days.
Correct.
That's 8 days.
So you're asking, how could they celebrate Sukkot?
60 days.
Oh, so the answer is that they didn't celebrate Sukkot. They celebrated in the manner of Sukkot. They were doing a zecher l'sukkos, right? In the manner of sukkos, right?
So Sheni,
they didn't sit in, we don't hear that they sat in a sukkah.
Right.
They just took a lulav and they started, they waved it around a little bit and they made that into a yontif. They never said, from now on, sukkos will be observed in Kislev, right? Anybody who says that is...
So they observed the squad of sukkos for 8 days then?
They observed, right, it was like a Sukkot makeup test.
Right?
Right?
So we have two examples then, 30 days and 8 days. And if they celebrated that for 8
days... No, but we're saying if they didn't celebrate Sukkot. The Pesach Sheni is the ability to offer the Korban Pesach a month later.
But we don't scrub the house out, make spring cleaning, make all the wives crazy.
In the Jewish Center, we go to Arizona for it.
That's good.
Right.
It doesn't take 30 days. Or does it?
No.
No. Whoever observed Pesach Sheni had to observe Pesach
right.
for that day.
For that day.
Or at least as far as not bringing it with chametz and so on. Right? But that's not what we're saying. We're not saying here that they observed Sukkot. We're saying here that they observed like Sukkot. Because that was the last Yontif that they had missed. And presumably, if the last Yontif they had missed was Pesach, then they would have celebrated something like Pesach. Right? Or whatever it was. So we have now, so now the question is, The miracle of the oil, what is it? Were Chazal making these things up? Was there never actually a miracle of oil, and now they're just making up this story so that little kids will be able to tell it to their parents and draw pictures of it? Thank you very much. So, even though tonight we've been slaughtering sacred cows, I don't think that's the answer. I think that maybe what the answer is here is that there was also a miracle of the oil, but that was downplayed in the Psikta and others, and later Chazal attached a lot more significance to it because they wanted to downplay the institution of a holiday over a military victory, as Herb had said. The idea,
there's no proof of it.
Because we're not warriors, we are... No, we're spiritual. We're spiritual. So we shouldn't. So the orientation when we celebrate should not be warrior things. It should be spiritual things. So the oil, every sermon you've ever heard about Hanukkah, the oil represents the light of Torah that burns ever bright and does not diminish and so on and so forth. And that's the idea of the miracle of the oil, right? And that's why Chazal sense that what needed strengthening at that time, let's think about what happened to the Hashmonaim after they ascended to power.
It was wrong too.
They were despots. They were religious tyrants and fanatics, and they became just as corrupt in the span of 200 years as the people they had deposed. And not only that, they usurped the kingship when it did not belong to them.
They were Kohanim.
They were Kohanim.
That's right.
Right? And in fact, the Gemara later on says that the entire family of the Hashmonaim ended up as Avadim, as slaves. So they usurped the role of the kingship inappropriately. They became corrupt. It may be that Chazal realized that this whole military victory thing didn't turn out all that well. Right? And therefore, they downplayed its significance in favor of another miracle that did happen at the same time. They promoted it, the miracle of the oil. However, right, you had something to say.
Well, I believe that as a general principle, not just in terms of Hanukkah, mm-hmm. but as a general principle, Chachamim are not eager to establish a Yom Tov or make a celebration based upon military matters.
Mm-hmm.
And not just, we're not warlike or anything like that, given the chance we're as warlike as we could be. It's I think, more of a conflict in terms of where the event came from, what we believe the source of the event was, more of a spirituality to the event than the vagaries of military action.
So the Maharal, right, the Maharal in his work in Ner Mitzvah on Hanukkah, the Maharal says, you know, if the Hanukkah is about a military victory, why was there a miracle of the oil? Why do we talk about it? So he says that the answer is that the miracle of the oil was so blatantly from God that he wanted to show them that it was not their might and strength that won the military victory either. It was divine. Everything was divine. So therefore, God made an overt miracle in order to show them that nothing that they accomplished was the result of their own efforts. And in fact, everything was miraculous. That's what the Maharal says. In the same vein as what you're saying. There is a reticence.
Centuries that the Chachamim don't like the idea of military victory for Yontif or for Halal.
Correct. And that plays into contemporary debates. Exactly. We're going to talk about that next semester. I'm giving a class on, it's called Prayer and Polemics. This is my plug. This is the last class of this semester. Talking about, because this year at the Jewish Center we're focusing on tefillah, right? The Chazan search and everything. This is a year to talk about tefillah. So I'm going to be talking about some of the controversies that have arisen in the past over tefillah, over certain prayers, over saying prayers at certain times. So, I would urge you all to attend.
Look for an alliteration in plan for prayer and polemics.
Exactly.
When is the time of the new semester start?
It starts after my Shavuot Brach. That's
sometime before Pesach.
The last week, January 25th. Right. My class starts. Right. Or
this is later than the rest.
27. Yeah, the other classes start earlier. In any event,
we have 2 weeks.
So, let's look at a contemporary. So now, all of this discussion, right, was designed to make you feel vaguely uncomfortable, which. Confused. So where are we right now? We have as they say in Jew, Vu Haltman.
I had to like spears instead of
spears. And I have to be in a straight line.
So what we have now, we have 8 days of Hanukkah, right? Nobody argues about that. We have different sources to why we have them. We have the two statements of the Psikta, which I said, I believe, work in harmony. The idea of 8 days commemorating the spears and lighting the menorah, in general, commemorating the consecration of the Mikdash, and the account in the Sefer HaMakabim that what they really were observing was Sukkot, but that after that it was a reference to Sukkot, and after that they instituted a Yom Tov, in a Yom Tov, as it were, in the subsequent days. How does this impact us? Because this is halachic myths, right? I'm not just trying to explode historical myths. What it really impacted, what should we be thinking about, and what are we commemorating on Hanukkah? And this really has influence in the tefillahs that we say on Hanukkah. So for example, Haneros Halalu, right? So think about the words Haneros Halalu Adikim, Al Hanisim, the Al Hanifo'os, Al Hachuos, right, the salvation, the Al Ha Milchamos Shasis Lavim Al Yidei Kohanecha Akdoshim, through the Kohanim, right, the Chol Shmonas Mechanuka Haneros Al Kodeshem, right, and so forth and so on, right. Is there any mention at all of the miracle of the oil in Haneros Halal? Zero. In fact, there is a Shita. We don't really hold to this Shita. I like to call it, one of my rabbis used to call it a collector's item Shita. Like a Shita that nobody holds of, but it's still interesting to know, right? So there are those who say Haneros Halalu in between the bracha of Lehadlik Ner Shel Chanukah and She'asa Nisim. Why? To acknowledge that She'asa Nisim refers to the military victory. Now, think about the... Go ahead.
I have a suspicion where you're heading. I think it's very interesting.
So,
well, that's not funny. He's trying to make us uncomfortable.
No, let me finish. Go ahead.
Throw one line.
Yeah. One line. I'll let him have one line.
History is written by the victors.
Okay.
He's right.
It's true. Yeah. So let's see if we develop that. So now look into Al Hanisim. Al Hanisim, right? It's the whole thing. Bimei Matisyo ben Yochanan Kohen Gadol Chashmoni Vanav. Right? Is there... In fact, Arthur, would you mind fetching me that sitter? Please. Thank you. Any sitter will do. Right? Lashkicham Shavayat, right? Kshamda Malchus Yavan Rishalam Chesrel Ashkicham Torah Secha, right? V'atav Rachamecha Rabim Atal Abay Sarasam Ravta Esrivam Danta Esdinam, and on and on and on, right? V'achar Kein Vohu Nechla Jir Beisecha, They came to the Beis HaMikdash. Ufinu es Heichalecha. They cleaned house. V'tiaru es Mikdashecha. And they purified it. V'hidliku neiros dechatzros kodshecha. And they lit candles. V'kavu shmonav simei Chanukah elu. And then, the next year, l'shana acheres, they established these days of Chanukah. By the way, this may be also the days of Hanukkah were already existing and they took on a different character, as we had said. So they established, does it say anything in the Tefillah of Al Hanisim about the miracle of the oil?
No.
Nothing. Not a word. Let's look at this source. Does anybody know Rabbi Chaim Greenblatt? Rabbi Chaim Greenblatt is a very significant Talmud Chacham who was a posek in Memphis for many, many years. He made Aliyah a few months ago, actually. He was one of the foremost Talmidim of Rabbi Moshe Feinstein, and he was a very, very renowned and prolific and important posek. So Rabbi Chaim Greenblatt, in his tshuvas, called Rivavos Ephraim, addresses the following issue. Let's read. V'nosach she'al hanisim mazkirim nitzachon milchama. In the text of the Al Hanisim, we mention the military victory. U'levasov mazkirim neis hashemen. And at the very end, we talk about v'edliku neiros v'chatzros kodshecha. So he says this refers to the miracle of the oil. Aval ha'ikar ha'lo ha'ayah ha'tzalah mishmar ha'yevanim. But really the miracle was the salvation from the Hellenizers and their decrees. U'madua imkein ne'emar ha'dagesh b'shemen she'em leze shum kesher l'nitzachon. So why do we spend so much time talking about the oil, which has no connection to the military victory? V'nir lechadesh. And it appears, he's now about to say a chiddush, a very novel opinion. The bedor ta'ikar hayash nitzlu mehamilchama. There, in that generation, the main point was that they were saved from the war. Aval tzarich shenei ze yishaer banu tamid. But we need that this miracle will stay with us forever, the military victory. That there will always be salvation for us. We have to emphasize something else. The light, the aspect of the light. And therefore we elevated something that was a side issue. The miracle of the oil, we elevated into it's a primary concern. Avshalom ogale etzem hanes. Even though that was not the real miracle, the real miracle was that it was a military victory, and therefore etzem hanes sheliku b'shemen leches yamin, that they lit with oil for 8 days, and kain hukva shetamid yad liku, and therefore it was established they should always light. And through this light of the candles, yikaneis banu or hagirula v'anitzachon v'ashalom, we shall have the light of redemption and victory and peace. Ukro shener Shabbos tukan la'asos mishum shalom bayis. Right? Why do we light Shabbos candles? Shabbos candles are lit because of shalom bayis. You want it to be light in your house. Kach ner Chanukah mishum shalom ha'olam. Chanukah candles are for world peace. Chanukah candles are the ultimate beatnik, hippie, leftist institution. This is what Rabbi Frank...
Someone had a light bulb line in their room, that sounds like candles.
What?
No, that's not correct.
What
do
you say?
You have a light bulb on your...
That means you don't have to light in that room on Shabbos.
Right.
There's a machlokas rishonim about that. We're not talking about that, though.
I don't know what
he's talking about. An energy event. So, l'fi zeh, b'masha ikshu. So now we're coming back full circle. How did we open up this class? With the question of the Beis Yosef, right? why are we lighting 8 days when the miracle is only 7? Rabbi Ephraim Greenblatt explains. Lefi zeh, b'mashe ikshu, ha b'yom harishon bohaya neis ledidan nicha. So it makes sense to us. There was no miracle. Heyos shevetzius dalak ches yamim, az madlikin ches. So we light for 8 days because it lit for 8 days. Lo mishum hashemen, not because of the oil itself. Ella kedei lizkor neis hanitzachon, but to remember the victory. The victory is the main thing. Umishum kach madlikin belayla, and that's why we light it at night. Kedei she'az al yedei ha'or yizkor, he'll light it and he'll remember the miracle. All of this candlelighting, it has nothing to do with the oil. That's a side point. It has to do with the victory. So we elevated another side point. But really, we light the candles because we want there to be peace in the home and peace in the world. That's our response to the military victory. Kedei she'az l'idei ha'or yizkor ma'she'en kein b'yom zeh lo shayach kach lo shayach kishraga v'tihara ma'whatever. Nowadays, we don't have these considerations. Anyway, we're just lighting 8 days, but really the real reason for lighting 8 days, says Refan Greenblatt, is a military victory. Which comes along with Shlomo Zalman Orbach, as quoted in the work Halichos Shlomo, which is a compendium of his halachic opinions. The main purpose of lighting the Hanukkah candles is in order to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the great miracle that he performed for our forefathers in the military victory. And therefore, when we light the candles, you should concentrate on thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the military victory. And I would add that it's not just that military victory. Bayamim Haheim, Bazman Hazeh, right? At all of the miraculous events that we have benefited from. And that unfortunately we hope to continue to benefit from.
It doesn't have to be military. It can be different other things that you think about.
But really, the point that you should be thinking about really is the military victory. That's the main point of Hanukkah. The oil is very nice, but it's not, it's only...
It doesn't seem to be true, almost.
Well, whether it's, no, so we're... Well,
we're putting Grant Sterling out of business, right?
Sorry?
we shouldn't be like he said. Can't silver is.
You always light. We definitely light the candles.
How do you explain this to children in schools today? I mean,
that's a very important pedagogical point. Should we be teaching this
to my great granddaughter?
She would think you were crazy or not religious, or both.
I wouldn't even tell her that. At a certain age, you don't want them to
have to be develop a little bit of sophistication.
Right.
Yeah, that's why I'm talking. That's why I'm doing this with you guys and not with the team. Now let me just close off with another very short halachic myth of Hanukkah, which is that the Rama writes that you should not call Shmini Atzeres a chag. Why? Because there's no korban chagiga. There was never a korban chagiga brought on Shmini Atzeres, and that's why he disputes the notion that we should call Shmini Atzeres a chag. So on Hanukkah there is also no korban chagiga. So anybody who wishes you a chag sameach on Hanukkah maybe making a mistake, because Hanukkah is not a chag. There's no Isser Melacha on Hanukkah. You know, there's no prohibition of working. There's no korbanos that were brought on Hanukkah. So if somebody wishes you a chag sameach, now obviously it's convention.
Right.
Really, there's what to argue even back at this on this thesis. But if anybody wishes you a chag sameach, you should respond Hanukkah sameach.
So why in the prayers for Shmini Atzeres is Shmini Chag
Hatzeres? So that actually that's the subject of a discussion. That was the opinion of the Rama, but others killed it. No, it's okay.
The prayer books.
But that's right. You're a very good point. But whether Shmini Atzeres is a chag or not, Hanukkah certainly is not a chag, nor is Purim, nor is Yom Ha'atzmaut, or Yom Yerushalayim. They're very important days, but they're not chagim in the strict halachic sense, So if you want to wish someone a Hanukkah Sameach or a Freilich and Purim, that's fine, but not
a
Lichtig and Hanukkah. Exactly. So on that note,
So that is exactly what the Goyim HaKitzonim are very upset about, that you don't greet them with the name of their Yontif, and you say Happy Holidays.
Right.
And they get very upset. Some.
Because it's not a holiday, or because they feel deprived?
Because we are not acknowledging what their Yontif is.
No, so I'm saying from the different perspective. They're upset because you're not acknowledging that it's a Yontif. I'm saying that you shouldn't say Chag Sameach because it's not a Yontif. It's not a Yontif.
But do they think it is?
You know, I want to ask you a question, and I think the topic.
Yes, well, let me stop the...